Metamorphosis. Written by the Dancing Walrus. Read by Something Incorporeal. The first sign, which didn't make sense until much, much later, was the dreams. For 2 weeks straight, he dreamt that he was meeting a little boy. The child had red-brown hair and dark eyes, and laughed when he saw Dorian. He would launch himself at Dorian, hug him tightly around the waist, and say how much he missed his brother. It varied more after that. Sometimes they'd play, and Dorian would be able to think he'd just dreamed about having a little brother. But sometimes they went flying, and spat fire. Sometimes they looked down on battlefields, and wiped armies away with a roar. The dreams always made him feel better, in a way he couldn't quite put his finger on. As if they eased an ache he was so used to he hadn't realised he'd had it, until it was gone. Bull said he'd wake up smiling. But then, Bull also wanted to take all the credit for it. The second sign was that magic was rapidly becoming effortless. It was still a joy, weaving the spells, manipulating the world. But it had become easier. He felt as if he could dance all night. And he'd also dismissed it as a part of joining the Inquisition. The demands it set upon him were greater than anything he'd previously experienced. Of course he was getting better. He felt like such a fool. The next sign was that all the darkspawn in Thedas were trying to kill him personally. But that was apparently well-established tradition by this point, and no one seemed to notice. After that, it was difficult to pinpoint exactly. The symptoms came quickly. He remembered gradually becoming aware of the sense. But he had been confused, not quite connecting sensations his body wasn't built to process with their cause. Mostly it had given him headaches, and strange crawling feelings, as if he could sense the whole population of the castle moving, and the trails they left in the air in their wake. There'd come a point where he'd started recognising their blood. There was a fresh feel to humans, sharp and clean and slightly overpowering, like the scent of lime and cut grass. The dwarves felt solid, and were thankfully subtler. If he were to continue the metaphor, he'd have said they smelt like wet clay. The elves were different again, ancient, and with them it hit him, overwhelming and nearly implacable. It was the smell of dust and dry stone. If such a thing could become as forceful as the scent from a tannery. Even then he noticed there was something different about Solas. He was similar but distinct to Sarah the Inquisitor, but Dorian hadn't thought about it really, chiefly because he hadn't wanted to think any of it was more than his imagination. Or perhaps a little too much of that ghastly green liquor Bull had insisted he try. There had been a period when he'd found himself more attracted, or perhaps just drawn, to Iron Bull. Either way, it had the same outcome. He'd spent even more time with the bull, which had ended up meaning more time in Bull's beds. He'd ignored the way Bull felt, a subtle smell that reminded him deeply, impossibly, of home. He'd firmly ignored everything unusual, put it out of his mind, right until that one night, when he couldn't ignore it any more. His hands had been bound, and the ropes pulled taut so they spread wide. They dragged him up on his toes so it felt like most of his weight was hanging from his wrists. He'd hung in that pleasant fog, surrounded by the comfortable feeling Iron Bull produced, loved, valued, and incredibly aroused. That went without saying. Bull had been behind him, had knelt and let the moment stretch out, with Dorian wondering what he was intending to do, straining his neck to try and see. The touch, when it came, had surprised him. the intensity of it. He'd cried out, "Come," and the fire had curled from his mouth, licking harmlessly across his bare arm, setting the rope alight and scorching the wall. Ball had used the watchword and laughed while he cut Dorian down. They'd lounged in bed, and Ball had joked about it being the second time Dorian had lost it, so he must have been doing something right. And maybe next time he could try aiming for the chairs, because then they'd have an excuse to replace them. Dorian had chuckled. But that was the first time he had truly worried, had known something was wrong. Because the last time, he had cast the spell. And this time... this time he hadn't. He had breathed fire, hot enough to blacken the wall 5 feet away. And it hadn't left a mark on his skin. He'd gone to the healers, then realised how ridiculous that was when he arrived. He could hardly tell them he'd just snorted out a fireball after all. So he ummed and ahed and gave her vague symptoms. Headaches, trouble sleeping, a sudden sensitivity to smells. She had sent him packing with something to help him sleep, and a tincture of elf root. Of course she had. It had gradually worsened for a week, and then plateaued. The headaches were abominable, and his back itched terribly. But after 2 days of bed rest and no improvement, he'd gotten bored. So he had put on a brave face and hobbled back into the field. Even if the Darkspawn were still trying to kill him, enough now that Cassandra actually commented on it. He didn't tell anyone about the whispering in the back of his mind, a hiss like words he wasn't close enough to make out. It seemed as ridiculous as claiming he'd actually breathed fire. This idiocy, with a certain predictability, ended when he collapsed in the middle of Skyhold. Apparently Iron Bull had carried Dorian inside to his room, slung over his shoulder like a hunting trophy. The indignity of it irked. He tried to hold on to that while the healers argued. They hadn't the slightest idea what was wrong. And Dorian did not want to think about that too deeply. The smell had woken him, and damn, but these sensitivities were becoming even more difficult. Dust and dry moss, stone and fur. It was so strong. Yet a month ago, he probably wouldn't have had a clear idea what half of these things smelled like. Almost elven. Almost. But not quite. "Solus," he murmured, without opening his eyes. "What are you doing in here?" "I came to see you." A perfectly natural and proper sentiment when one of your comrades was incapacitated. But Solus was different. Solus was lying. Perhaps not right at that moment. But he had lied to them all. Dorian just knew. And he did not want to be alone in a room with Solus. He wished Iron Bull was nearby. But the bull had left several hours ago. He could tell by the way the scent had blurred into the air. "What do you want?" Dorian asked. And he wondered if, even now, with his head pounding and the painful, confusing sensations, his magic would come more easily. Could he defeat Solus if it came to that? He wasn't sure. Perhaps he was being paranoid. "I may have an idea of what ails you," Solus said simply. "I've observed something similar before." "In the Fade, I suppose," Dorian suggested. "Yes." "Lying, lying, lying!" Dorian opened his eyes. The room span in lazy, anti-clockwise circles, and Solus with it. It hurt. And he couldn't think. "You're lying," Dorian hissed. And Solus, it was almost a flinch. "What are you?" He spluttered, choked, and suddenly Solus was at his side, helping him sit enough to drink watered elfroot poultice. A good portion of it ended up down his shirt, or splattered over Solacin's, but he managed one or two good swallows. It didn't really help. "Does it truly matter what I've learned and where?" Solas asked, his voice softer. "You need help." Which was true. And Dorian wasn't sure that he would get rid of Solas, magic or no. The room was spinning faster. "You feel wrong," Dorian admitted in a whisper. "As do you."
You knew,"
Dorian accused, even though he wasn't entirely sure what he was blaming Solas for. "I suspected," Solas corrected, as he helped Dorian to lie flat once more. "I could have been wrong. I hoped I was."
"You!"
Dorian floundered, and the pain was suddenly worse. The room rolled. The smell of whatever Solas was hurt like a noise that was too loud, a light that was too bright. But he told the truth, and Dorian couldn't think of a suitably damning insult anyway.
"What is wrong with me?"
he demanded. Solas frowned down at him, and put his palm briefly against Dorian's forehead. "The way you sense the fade, use magic. Has it changed?" Solas inquired.
"Yes,"
Dorian gritted. "And your perceptions have altered?"
"Yes."
"How?" Solas asked.
"Feelings, instincts, sense,"
he murmured.
"It's too much. It hurts."
Solas seemed to consider this, and Dorian found his eyes caught on the man's robes. The piece of bone. A wolf's bone, he was sure of it. But how could he know that?
Perhaps he was getting feverish. "Why didn't you go to the healer sooner?"
Dorian let out a cough that was trying to be a laugh.
"I'd have sounded like coal, telling my spat fire at the walls."
He closed his eyes. The whispering was back, though, thankfully, still quiet. If he breathed deeply, he could soak in the remnants of bull in the room, and it made him feel grounded.
"What's wrong with me?"
he asked again. Steadily, even if his voice wasn't exactly strong. "Have you studied shape-shifting, Dorian?"
"What does that?"
"The symptoms you're displaying and the changes in your aura are similar to the effects a mage can suffer if they spend too long in the wrong shape."
"That's..."
Impossible, he wanted to say. But Solas was telling the truth, and he knew that the same way he knew the differences between colours when he opened his eyes. But he'd never worn any form that wasn't his own, save perhaps in the fade. He couldn't really know whether Solas was lying or not. He couldn't really breathe fire, or tell the differences between races by their smell. He was human. His mother and father were human. He had to be human.
"You're going to change me into..."
Dorian began, and found he had no idea how to finish his sentence.
"I could help you return to what you were,"
Solas corrected,
"if you wish."
"Why?" Solas sighed.
"You are much too vulnerable, like this Dorian,
and unlikely to improve.
I wouldn't want you to fall to the Darkspawn."
Which wasn't a lie, even if it had a tinge of evasion to it. His head hurt. Everything hurt. The smell of Solas was overpowering, and the mess of truth and lies dazzled.
"Does the Inquisitor know? Do you want her to?"
Yes. Yes, he did. Because he trusted her and her pure Dalish scent more than Solas. And Solas seemed to accept that, to understand. He'd left as silently as he arrived, and Dorian had finally gotten back to sleep. Iron Bull carried him out into the innermost courtyard in a knot of blankets, and Dorian had tried to muster the energy to be embarrassed. The area had been completely cleared. It was perhaps the first time he'd seen it so quiet. The Inquisitor had stood to one side with Cullen, Varric and Cassandra, clutching her staff. He tried to give them his winning smile, but it may have come out rather weak. The world had been spinning around him for a while now. Bull put him down in the centre and stepped back. He looked so worried. Dorian watched Iron Bull as Solas began to unravel the spell. Bull shrunk away below him as he grew. And that worried look changed to startlement, skipped fear and settled on awe.
Atashi,
Bull whispered reverently, before everyone else started panicking. And then the world faded away. Dorian? It was Llewellyn's voice. Dorian, are you all right? He opened his eyes. Everyone was suddenly so small. Llewellyn was close, possibly right next to his eye, and yet she still seemed...
My head doesn't hurt anymore,
he replied, which was true. The world wasn't spinning. The sense didn't hurt, but... His voice sounded different. His body felt... He lifted his head and it seemed to be going up for an age. He almost didn't notice the way Cullen had jumped back, and Cassandra's hand had gone to the hilt of her sword. His head too nearly reached the top of the walls, and he wasn't even standing. He could turn it further than before too, enough to see neatly folded wings, an enormous tail, and how he took up virtually the entire courtyard. Well, he had suspected this part, at least since Solas had crept into his room. After all, what else spat fire? He bent his neck so that his head was near the ground again, and he could sit back and examine it with stubby paws. A good long snout, large eyes, fantastic horns. And he was a rather fetching colour, a glittering mix of greys and pale blues and white. He wondered if he should have felt different, changed, twisted by this. After all, he had just become a dragon. But he felt no less himself, and there was no uneasiness. If anything, this felt easier than before, more natural. Right. Dorian? The Inquisitor asked, rubbing her hand against the side of his neck. He shifted to look at her with his left eye.
Yes.
How do you feel?
Tired, he admitted. But better.
Can you change back? He couldn't frown anymore, but apparently wanting to resulted in slightly raised wings and short lashes from his tail.
I don't know how,
he told her, yawning and feeling a little embarrassed that he couldn't cover his mouth as he did.
I don't remember ever being like this in the first place.
They'd all weighed in with opinions after that. All disbelief, advice, and what was Cullen going to tell the troops if they couldn't get the courtyard back. And Dorian meant to pay attention, really. But he'd just been so very, very tired. If he hadn't trusted Llewellyn, he might have tried harder. As it was, he shut his eyes and fell asleep on the paving slabs. It was night by the time he woke again, knowing before he opened his eyes that there were four humans and Iron Bull in the courtyard with him. Varric had been earlier, and an elf, probably Llewellyn. And Solas. Dorian opened his eyes and raised his head, making Krem jump and the man beside him laugh. He ignored their bickering, looking for the bull, who he knew was near.
Apparently, his new eyes weren't much better than the old after dark.
He could make out Cassandra near one of the gateways, and another of the charges.
And finally, Bull.
His neck twisted and curved, bringing his head close and level with the Kunat Talvashoth. It was strange thinking about how different his body was now.
He hadn't been a dragon for more than a day,
but already he couldn't imagine how he'd managed in a human form for so long. This was so much better. So right. For a moment, Dorian stared at Iron Bull, and Bull stared back. It was bizarre to think that Bull was smaller.
So,
Bull began,
you're a dragon.
Apparently. Dorian confirmed, tail curling upwards.
Are you still Dorian?
Bull asked, pushing himself off his spot on the wall.
I believe so,
the dragon confirmed, tilting his head to one side.
At least, I don't remember anything else. Why? Did you think I would be a dangerous beast that needs to be leashed? Because I believe you promised to buy me dinner first. And that may be rather more expensive now.
Bull huffed out a laugh, and the tension in Dorian's wings eased.
Anyway, Dorian continued, you have to admit, I'm just as devastatingly handsome as before.
He turned so that Bull could properly observe his profile, which, come to think of it, might well be rendered in marble somewhere in Devinter.
You're just as arrogant,
Bull chuckled. He stepped forward, slowly, steadily, one hand raised. Dorian stayed as still as he could manage, and slowly, gently, the Iron Bull laid a hand on his snout. He stroked the heavy scales of the upper lip, across the plate of the nostrils and back towards the eye, running a finger over the heavy ridge above it.
Hatashi,
Bull murmured.
I knew there was something about you.
Apart from my sparkling wits, dashing good looks and sunny personality. Bull laughed again, and slapped his neck, and, well, perhaps this wouldn't be so bad. He ended up talking to the majority of them over the course of the night and then the next morning. Mostly, he suspected, they were trying to decide if he was still himself. And for the most part, he believed he'd put them at ease. Cassandra had taken some time, and Varric had been especially awkward. Sarah still hadn't come to see him, which was a shame. But Liliana had been remarkably easy. Llewellyn had been there for hours, stiffly clutching her staff near the walls at first, and later sitting on one of his front legs. He told her he had no more idea what was going on than she did, and she believed him. He'd wanted to tell her something was wrong with Solas, but he wasn't quite sure how, especially when they'd been so close. When she'd come to him with an unmarked face and tears in her eyes. How was he supposed to tell her the man had been lying to them all, when he had no idea what Solas was hiding in the first place? He tried cautiously to explain that Solas smelt wrong, and she wondered if it was an effect of the fade. So he sighed and let it go. Anyway, the Inquisition still needed him, preferably in a recognisably humanoid shape as quickly as possible. They'd barred almost everyone from the courtyard as he slept. Most of their troops didn't know yet. The Chantry didn't know, and if he picked up shape-shifting quickly, it could stay that way. Which, after all the Inquisitor had done for him, was really the least he could do. Except that shape-shifting was hard, and Llewellyn didn't know more than vague theories. And Solas was an abominable teacher. They'd been hoping, he realised later, that he'd pick it up in a day, and they could all pretend it never happened.
They'd also been protecting him. Not just from the Chantry's judgment, but the knowledge that they were all running into Darkspawn more often. That the damn things were turning up closer and closer to Skyhold. Which Dorian probably should have worked out on his own. But in his defence, he had still been recovering and spending most of his time in an exhausted heap, so he hadn't been thinking too deeply about precisely what sort of dragon a Devinta Altus might turn out to be. It had taken the Chantry and Solas to spell it out for him. And when they did, he wished they hadn't. The chief problem with being a dragon was that one found it simply impossible to go indoors. Which meant that the first he knew of any festering problems was when they exploded out in the courtyard. In this case, the festering problem wore a pointed hat, spoke with a pronounced Orlesian accent, and had already tried to get the Inquisitor to renounce him on the basis of his nationality. The argument had apparently been going on for some time, but the first Dorian knew of it was when the esteemed Reverend Mother and the Herald of Andraste burst into the courtyard, shouting at each other. It seemed like half of the Inquisition was behind them. Josephine was giving him odd sidelong glances, and Cullen looked as if he wanted to be anywhere else. Varric was probably taking notes. He could just make out Bull at the back. He couldn't see Solas, but the smell of fur and the crawling feeling it produced made Dorian sure he was there. From what he could make out, the Reverend Mother was, in her own wonderful way, pointing out the irony of the so-called Herald of Andraste courting one of the Tevinter old gods among her allies. Or maybe she was just trying to encourage them all to kill him. The two seemed so similar within the Orlesian Chantry. He would have interrupted them himself. But then she mentioned archdemons and blights and suddenly it made sense. The way the Darkspawn had gravitated towards him. The whispering. An old god. Not merely a dragon or even a high dragon, but an old god. And a horde of Darkspawn at the door, yearning to taint and twist him into leading the next blight so soon after the last. Maker. That was not how he wanted to end his days. Llewellyn, bless her, was holding her own, and trying to keep a hold of her temper too, defending him again, arguing that driving him away would make a blight more likely, not less. But predictably, the Reverend Mother was not listening. She was screaming about the desecration of the Golden City, sin and the blight and the evils of the old gods. The Herald of Andraste cannot harbour one of these monsters in the Inquisition, she thundered. And Dorian gradually became aware of just how full the little courtyard was now. Knots of Cullen soldiers, the chargers, some of them probably would try to kill him on the Reverend Mother's words. Which was when, like the light from a flaring spell, he suddenly noticed Solas.
She does not have one ancient god among her allies.
Solas stated, calmly, and at a reasonable volume, which somehow cut through the poisonous debate.
She has two.
Dorian had blinked, and taken a moment to reflect that no one was looking at him anymore.
What?
The Inquisitor stammered. Solas stepped towards her, arms raised and the Inquisitor's expression set. She raised her staff as if it was a sword, and she intended to run him through.
Who are you?
She demanded.
My heart.
Solas began.
Your name, or I swear I will...
It was once Fen'Harel.
There was a short moment of quiet, of calm. Then Llewellyn punched him hard enough to make him stagger. The crowd drew in around them and flowed back into Skyhold's buildings. out of Dorian's view. The most maddening part of it was not knowing what was going on. No one had bothered to come outside and tell him anything. Of course they hadn't. And they were too deep in the keep for him to overhear anything. All he could do was wait. Drat it. He tried pacing, and quickly found that his new body did not handle tight corners well. After he'd disentangled his wing from the archway, he changed tactics, forgetting any of the people who'd rushed through the courtyard to stop and tell him what was going on was impossible. Dorian wondered if it was possible to die from excessive curiosity, or boredom, and determined that he should probably tell someone that Bull was welcome to his teeth if he expired, just in case. He woke hours later in the darkness to the scent of Iron Bull, and stared. What's going on in there? Bull shrugged expansively.
Sol says he's some kind of elven demon. Boss thinks he might have caused all this. The Chantry didn't understand that. Boss started explaining that now they're arguing about what to do with him.
Oh. Bull patted the base of his neck and leaned against his ribs.
Boss is pretty pissed,
he observed.
I can imagine, Dorian replied. Can you let me know what happens? Sure,
Bull said with a sigh.
Why not? So they didn't throw him in the dungeons?
Dorian inquired as he considered the cauldron of what looked suspiciously like Ferelden's infamous grey stew.
They did,
the Iron Bull said with a smirk.
Until they realized they couldn't keep him there.
And then? Bull shrugged.
Bull started shouting at him. Even Money says she's still going.
And apparently, somewhere in the background, Liliana and Josephine had managed to corner the Reverend Mother. So they hadn't completely split from the Chantry yet. The smell of dust and fur drifted out over the courtyard, and Dorian raised his head, and Bull moved so he could follow his gaze. Solas trudged out towards him.
You're still in the doghouse, then?
Bull quipped. He didn't answer, and sank by one of Dorian's front legs. Dorian shifted, and his neck snaked round so he could look at... He still wasn't sure what Solas was. A god? But he'd said himself that the elven gods weren't divine. An ancient elf? But he didn't seem to feel a particular kinship with elves and disdained the Dalish. He was still wearing that god-awful apostate hobo get-up that Dorian had so thoroughly disparaged, which seemed like an ordinary mortal thing. So perhaps it was best to treat him as soulless.
Are you all right?
Dorian asked.
It doesn't matter.
Dorian sighed. Somehow, I doubt that. The silence stretched out with Solas staring off into nothing, and Dorian trying not to twitch. Finally, the Iron Bull cleared his throat.
Ben Hasroth to C3.
He didn't leave after Bull did, which had surprised Dorian. He'd stayed silent until well after sunset. Then he'd pulled the robe's hood over his head and settled over Dorian's leg to sleep. And when it started to rain, Dorian moved his wing to shelter him. Barefaced, embarrassed. She thought it was because of her.
Hello, Cole.
Dorian sighed, moving so he could see them. He was beginning to miss being able to move his eyes like a human, instead of having to shift his entire head. He could see Cole, perhaps more clearly than before. But he didn't have a scent, which somehow made focusing on him more difficult. He ended up focusing on Cole's wide, ragged hat. She thinks it was a lie. Cole continued.
It wasn't,
Solus replied. Which was enough for Dorian to piece together that they were talking about the Inquisitor, and it seemed unfair to listen in on her private sorrows. So he moved his head away, raising up and stretching and yawning, and looking around for something else to concentrate on. Which was when he spotted...
Cole?
He began carefully.
Is that a cake?
Small, sad sense of him like a home far away. Reds and greens and fire, but here, everything tastes grey. Cole replied, as if this was the obvious explanation. I thought it would help. It looked almost too small to pick up with his mouth, and he was sure he couldn't chew with his jaws. He pinched it carefully in his teeth, and jerked his head back so it would sit on his tongue, while Cole talked about brothers trapped in a nightmare, who walked dreams and wrapped the youngest in foreign flesh. He supposed that was aimed at him,
but he was rather more interested in the sweet, fruity ball that gradually dissolved on his tongue.
It helped. They went back to shapeshifting. Solus was still an appalling teacher.
The Darksworn are getting closer,
Dorian observed.
We weren't supposed to tell you that,
Bull told him calmly.
No one did,
he replied, craning his neck in the vague direction of the Darkspawn. If he stood and stretched, he could just about see over the walls, even if there was no way to see the Darkspawn themselves.
You can sense them.
He paused, considering. But he didn't think the Darkspawn were the whispering voices. It seemed more likely they were the rotting smell wafting out from the woods, similar to the way dwarves and humans smelt, with an added bitterness. Like spoiled food.
Apparently.
He woke, human again on the flagstones, and was rather shocked, until he realised that he hadn't woken at all. It was a feint, a dream, and he should get a blasted grip. Dorian took a moment to accept his abominable lack of wings, and wondered if perhaps the Fade's version of Skyhold retained a stock of liquor.
It had, after all, been some time since he'd had a decent drink.
The Fade's wine turned out to be of a far better quality than the damned vinegar they had in the true Skyhold. He liberated a few choice bottles, and wandered the halls, glass in hand. It was strange to think that he had lived in here, that he'd been so confined. It felt like a lifetime ago. And he'd probably have to do it again. That was the point of shapeshifting, after all. Something that would reduce him to a size they could relate to, and perhaps ensure that any visitors didn't die of shock. Strange. He hadn't had a chance to fly, either, because he'd been too exhausted, or because the risk of being tainted had become too real. And yet, he'd miss his wings. He smiled, shook his head and drank. It wouldn't do to make the spirits melancholy. He wandered for some time before he heard voices, and because he was curious, he sought them out. As he got closer to the round tower room, he recognised them. Llewellyn and... Solus. Dorian dithered for a moment, wine in hand, wondering whether he should... You lied to me, he said, and he could hear the pain in her voice.
I'm sorry.
Dorian sighed, and decided that he should perhaps be elsewhere. He left the bottles at the door, no doubt the contents would be useful to them either way, and made his way through the gardens to the courtyard. For a time, he stared at the sky. The change came more easily in the Fade. He merely wanted to be himself, and he was. He reared and spread his wings, gave a few stumbling, uneasy flaps like a young bird fledgling, and flew. When he actually woke, he found that Solus was in a much better mood. and that shapeshifting was suddenly much easier to master.
He wasn't sure if it was because the Fiend had helped him accept the necessity of it,
or because the Dread Wolf was being less of an ass.
It seemed like a victory either way.
And even though it felt distinctly strange and alien to be human now, there were some definite advantages, such as being able to drink the wine and eat out of something that wasn't a trough. And hands. And kissing. And Iron Bull. In fact, if this was ever over, he'd have to become a human again, periodically. Just for this.
Being smaller than him. And below him. And ground possessively into his band. On the other hand, he wasn't allowed to do anything anymore. Because apparently, if he set one foot outside the keep, he'd be at too high a risk of getting tainted.
He honestly thought he was going to die of boredom by the time Solas and Agna cornered him. He'd suspected there were going to be trouble, as soon as he saw the grin Agna was wearing. Solas held out a selection of vials.
"Do you know what these are?"
Solas asked.
"Blood,"
Dorian answered simply, and attempted to turn back to his book.
"Yes, but you know what sort, don't you?"
Dagna pressed excitedly, and Dorian gave up with a sigh.
"The two on the left are human. The next is Herlock, then Dwarf, then Genlock. Does that satisfy you?"
Dagna's eyes lit an expression of such extreme joy, it could only be disturbing.
"Do you know what that means?"
she enthused.
"You can sense the taint."
"And?" "And failure to properly identify it has so far hampered attempts to separate it and prevent it spreading,"
Solas stated calmly. "They were working on a way to stop him becoming..." He didn't quite listen as Dagna babbled on about theories and ideas, and how this would make everything so much easier, save so many lives. It was, truth be told, a little much to take in. She left with the blood floating on her own happy cloud, and Dorian turned to Solas.
"Why are you doing this?"
He shrugged.
"Dragons can be useful. Why do you think I stopped them from driving you away?"
Dorian turned back to his book with a sigh. Perhaps. Solas was still an arse, after all. They wouldn't let him anywhere near their experiments, of course, or tell him how it was coming along. Just pop in occasionally, to ask if a sample was tainted, and then vanish again. Which was incredibly frustrating. At one point, he was seriously considering changing form, and taking it out on pieces of masonry. But that would have probably been a little bit petty. What Dagna and possibly Solas eventually came up with was a tiny enchanted metal contraption. Silverite, a complicated entanglement of lyrium, two wicked-looking needles, and a sort of trap. They tested it on tainted men in the infirmary first, and Dagna was careful to stress that it removed the taint. But nothing they'd tried so far had undone the damage the taint left behind. Still, if he wore it, let it filter out any poison from his blood, he could go out again. He could fight. And after an age of sitting around idle, that was more than enough. He'd missed it terribly. The thrill, the camaraderie, setting their enemies ablaze. But the highlight in the first few days back on the field had been the Templars. The idiots had attempted some kind of ambush. And what was the first thing any group of Templars looking to pick a fight with their Inquisitor did? They'd cleansed the area, disrupted all spells. And Dorian had grown huge and fearsome, as the fragile thing holding him human failed. He didn't ever think he was going to forget the looks on their faces as they dropped their swords and ran.
Oh, come on,
Bull wheedled.
It would be amazing.
No, Dorian said for what felt like the millionth time. He could hardly say anything else. Expanding it to, I will not let you ride me into battle, would only have encouraged the lummox. A dragon, dark and mad with ragged wings, roars above Corypheus's army. He lets the small frail shape he held crumble around him and soars after it. It's a similar size, but he tears through it like so much paper, with the power of a true dragon, of a god. It's not just easy, it's a joy. And between them all, they will close the breach. They'll vanquish Corypheus. Dragging Tevinter forward into a better future had never seemed possible before. But now, the tainted dragon screams and falls into Corypheus's lines, leaving Dorian, unchallenged master of the sky. Anything's possible. The end.